بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, your brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Most people nowadays have access to a computer, whether at home or at work or at school. And most chances are that if you've been using your computer for some time, meaning it's been a while since you first got it, it's probably running much slower now than it was when it was brand new. And in some cases, it'll get very slow, or very, very slow. So for example, it might take forever to open your browser. You might finish an entire meal while their computer reboots. And simple tasks like printing something or checking your email can become a nightmare. Or it might keep freezing and keep crashing often. Now, it may turn out that the reason for this may be that there are a number of viruses or malware on your computer, programs that have taken over the system resources that would normally be available to you to complete the tasks that you need to do, but instead there are viruses and other programs that have maliciously installed themselves and are now taking advantage of that, and you're the one who's suffering. So while the computer should be taking your orders instead of that, you know, and doing what you're telling it to do, it's not able to do that properly because all of these other programs have taken over and are telling it what to do, using up most of the power of the processor, of the computer, and perhaps even the bandwidth of your internet connection, of your network. Now, when you open your case, right, if you happen to open your computer case, or your computer physically, open it up, you'll find parts inside. So you'll find a processor, a couple of processors, you'll find a hard drive, or a few hard drives, memory, and so on and so forth. If somebody physically opens up the computer case, looks inside, and looks for example, Windows Vista or Windows 7 or the operating system or the Mac OS X line or any other, or your desktop or your icons that you click on, obviously it's not going to be seen. When you look inside, it's not visible. But of course, we know that an operating system is crucial for a computer. And if you had a computer that had no operating system installed, it would be as good as not having it because you wouldn't be able to use it. Similarly, when a person's chest is opened up, so for example for surgery or if you get an x-ray done, what do you see inside? You see a heart. But in reality, right, in reality, in the spiritual dimension, which cannot be seen, the heart is the center of activity, right? The one that controls things, because the heart is the seat of emotions. Right, so the analogy is the same. So when you open up a computer, you see a processor, you see parts, you don't see the operating system, right? You don't see the icons, you don't see the desktop. When you open up a person's chest, you look inside, you find a heart, a physical heart, but there are things which you cannot see, which is the spiritual dimension. And the heart is the seat of the emotions, as we say. So when we speak, or when people speak, what do they say? They say, he or she broke my heart. Or it is my heart's desire. Or my heart aches with pain, or my heart cannot accept that. So think of your spiritual heart, the heart that we cannot see, as the operating system. Now, when the operating system of your computer is fine, it's not corrupt, there are no files that are corrupted, there are no viruses that are bothering it or taking over resources, things run smoothly generally for the entire computer, and things are stable. If even one file, right, becomes corrupted or a virus takes over, the operating system cannot do its job properly. Similar is the case of our spiritual heart. So when it is fine, the rest of the acts of or the acts that a person makes his or her body do are fine and good. But if the heart, if the spiritual heart of a person is corrupt, it's hosting viruses and malware, then that affects a person in many negative ways. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, a famous hadith, "Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha," that indeed there is a lump of flesh, there is a part of the body in every human being. "Idha salahat salah al jasadu kullu," that if it is sound, if this lump of flesh is sound, then the whole body is sound. "Wa idha fasadat fasad al jasadu kullu," and if it is corrupt, if this piece of flesh is corrupt, then the whole body is corrupt. Ala wa hiya al-qalb. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that verily this piece of flesh that he's referring to is the heart. And this hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. Now in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about hearts. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the ability of hearts to understand. Right? So again, if you look at it from a very physical point of view, you look at your body and you look at, you know, you look at someone's heart or a picture of a heart, you see a piece of flesh and you say, okay, does this have the ability to understand? So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the spiritual heart. He says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. That have they not then traveled on the earth so that they should have hearts, so that they should have hearts to understand with. أَوْ أَذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Or ears to listen with. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبَصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبَ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The fact is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the fact is, it is not the eyes that turn blind, but what turns blind is the hearts contained in the chest. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the heart, and is referring to it as something that has the ability to understand, and that has the ability, and that can turn blind and not pay heed. So the question is, how can hearts understand, or how can a heart be blind? Oftentimes we find ourselves in a situation or in situations where rationally we understand something. Rationally we accept that there's something that we should do, that something is the right course of action. For example, there are people who perhaps know that there is one Allah and that he should be worshipped alone. Or they know that Islam is the truth. Or they know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah. Or, you know, we know that cheating is bad. We know that lying is a sin and so on, or backbiting is a sin and so on and so forth. Yet, there are people, even after knowing this, still disbelieve. Or, you know, we still commit these sins. So these actions that we're talking about, that we know are incorrect, are not permissible, we still commit these sins. Why? Because our minds have understood. Our minds have understood. Rationally, we've convinced ourselves, but our hearts aren't convinced. Our hearts haven't accepted that. So that tells us that at the end of the day, our spiritual heart is often what controls our actions. Which is why the Prophet ﷺ told us that if the heart is sound, then the rest of the body will also be sound. Because the sound heart, a heart which is pure, which is clean, which is immersed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is afraid, not of just afraid of Allah, but is afraid of displeasing Allah azza wa jal, will desire, it will want to desire the things that are good and right. On the other hand, if the heart is corrupt, and there's a problem in the heart, and it's inclined towards evil, and it likes things which are evil, and it's getting tainted and rusted and dirty, then it will lean towards things which are bad and which are negative. So now you might be thinking, okay, so what's the big deal then? You know, so why is so much importance given to the heart? Why do we hear about, you know, purification of the heart, and so on and so forth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, referring to the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. That it is the day whereon neither wealth nor sons will avail. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. But only that person will prosper that brings to Allah a sound heart. Who brings to Allah قَلْبٌ سَلِيمٌ. Who brings to Allah a sound heart. So it's not the family, right? Our families, the things we worry about a lot, our wealth that we try to accumulate. These are not the things that human beings will benefit from on the Day of Resurrection. Rather, it is the sound, pure heart. The pure, clean heart that will benefit. Which is, you know, the heart which is purified from shirk, for example. It is purified from elements of disbelief. It is purified from spiritual ailments such as pride, arrogance, you know, excessive anger, envy, love for wealth and worldly pursuits and so on and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He wants soul and complete devotion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for soul and complete devotion and obedience of heart from His people. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for. A heart which is pure, which is devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is pure from all other elements. And this heart will be what will be in exchange for what He has promised, which is Jannah. Now this is actually very deep if you think about it, because, you know, if you think about it, we're actually pretty selfish as human beings. right? So if we go buy something, right, if you go to a store and you pick up a pack of bread and you go home, or, you know, in the store you see that it's rotten or there's mold growing on it, or if you pick up some fruit and you realize that it's no good, you're upset, right? You want your money back. You want a refund. You want to exchange it because, you know, it's not what you paid for. It's not what you were expecting. But on the other hand, we like to think that we can go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a impure, with a rotten heart, and exchange that for paradise. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that's not the way how it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants high standards. If we have high standards in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants perfection. Right? He likes perfection. Obviously, you know, as human beings, we can't be perfect. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us all these things because He wants us to work hard for that, and He wants us to work hard. Right? So, to get into paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, you know, you need to come with a sound, pure heart. So this heart, in its ideal point, is a heart that is purified of all thoughts and all influences other than that of Allah. So nothing affects this ideal heart that we're talking about. Nothing influences it except what Allah wants. Nothing influences it except the desire to make Allah happy. And all other influences, this heart disregards and has no room for it inside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will examine the condition of the hearts on the Day of Judgment to see what they are filled with. Right? If a person goes, your deeds, of course, will be accounted for. But also the condition of the heart. Right? Is this a pure heart? Is this a clean heart? Is this a heart that loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or was it a heart which, you know, had inside it love and value for all other things which were not important? Was this a heart which contained impurities? Was this a heart, going back to the computer analogy, was this a heart, you know, that contained viruses and malware and which was doing things that it was not supposed to do? Now, if your heart is filled with impurities, with dirt, the longer it is left that way, the longer it is left that way, the harder it becomes to clean. Right? And this is a principle that we even see, right, in our worldly life. So if you are doing the dishes and, you know, if you clean them right away, right, if you don't have a dishwasher, you're doing the dishes yourself with your hands, if the earlier you clean them, the sooner you clean them, the easier it is to wash. Right? The longer you leave them overnight, you got lazy, next morning you get up and you have a big mess on your hands, it's going to take double the effort now to scrub everything off. Right? If you spill something on your clothes, right, grape juice, ketchup or something, which leaves stains, the sooner you get to a sink and try to clean it off, right, the easier it will be to get rid of the stain. The longer you leave it, if you think, oh, I'll leave it for a few days and I'll try to wash it off and I do the laundry next week, then that stain is going to be much harder to take off. It might even stay there for good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, He mentions, رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. He talks about people and he says, that which they used to commit has covered their hearts. Has covered their hearts with, you know, a covering, with rust, for example. And there's a hadith which talks about something similar. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ إِذَا أَذْنَبَ كَانَتْ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. That when the believer commits a sin, a dark spot appears on his heart. Right? And we're talking about the spiritual heart here. فَإِنْ تَابَ وَنَزَعَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ. That if he repents, right, so when a person commits a misdeed, a sin, one dot, right, one dark spot appears on the heart. If the person repents and he gives up that sin and the person seeks forgiveness, then the heart will be polished. It will be cleaned again. It will be polished. On the other hand, if the sin increases, then that dark spot starts to grow as well. And the Prophet ﷺ then says that this is the ran, which I just mentioned in the verse, رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. He says that this is the ran which Allah mentioned in His book, in this verse, that nay, but on their hearts is the ran, the covering of sins and evil deeds which they used to earn. So these dark spots, they need to be removed regularly and as soon as possible. Now the most direct way of removing these spots, of removing these stains from our heart, from our spiritual heart, the most direct way, the best way, is what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. Right? So what did he mention? That if a person commits a sin, right, commits a misdeed, and repents, and vows not to do it again, right, then that is the best way of removing that, because that takes away the stain, the heart is polished once again. So the most direct way of removing these spots as they appear is to sincerely repent, to show humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to cry to Allah to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person does that, then the stain will be removed and the heart will be polished once again, inshallah. Now, like the physical body, the spiritual body also needs sustenance. The spiritual heart needs sustenance, it needs to be maintained even after cleaning it, right? So if a person says, okay, I got a stain on my clothes, I'm going to wash my clothes, I'm going to get the stain removed, you get a stain remover and you do it right away and your clothes are nice and clean again, and you say, okay, now I never need to wash my clothes again, I don't need to take care of them, I'll wear them forever. I never need to do my laundry again. Does it work that way? No. Of course, even after you have removed the stain, you have cleaned your clothes, as you wear them, they will accumulate dirt and you need to continue maintaining them and continue to keep them clean. So, in the same way, the spiritual heart needs the same thing as well. Or, taking the computer thing again, right? If you get your computer is running slow, you got it cleaned out, you know, you took it somewhere, you called in someone, you know, who cleaned it up, who wiped everything out, now there's no more viruses, no malware, nothing, and you go back to doing exactly what you were doing before, not running any antiviruses, right? Not having any security settings set, then what's going to happen? The same thing's going to happen over again, right? So you need to get protection, you need to make sure that your security settings are correct, you need to make sure that you have the antivirus installed, and so on. So the protection of the heart, right? So the protection of the spiritual heart, its sustenance, to make it healthy, to make it pure, lies in righteousness. Lies in righteousness and good deeds, and especially those deeds that have a direct impact on the heart. Those deeds, those good deeds that affect the heart directly. And the most important out of all of this is, or from these, or among these, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So constantly turning to Allah, seeking His forgiveness, and remembering Allah. Seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Reading istighfar, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayh. Remembering Allah with other afkar and different words that are, you know, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. The recitation of Qur'an, pondering over the meaning of the Qur'an, and reflecting over its depth and its meaning, right? So all of these things, if a person makes a habit of doing these, of remembering Allah, of reciting Qur'an, of reading the meaning of the pondering over the translation of the Qur'an, the tafsir and so on and so forth, reflecting over it, these are the things that will help maintain a pure and healthy heart. The Prophet ﷺ was reported to have said, "Inna li kulli shay'in jala'a wa inna jala'a al-qulubi dhikrullah 'azza wa jalla." That everything has a polish. Right? We talked about polish in the previous hadith as well. That everything has a polish, a way of cleaning it and making it pure and nice and shiny. And the polish of the heart is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ reportedly telling us that if you want to keep our spiritual hearts pure and clean and polished, right, just like we like to get our cars, you know, keep them nice and keep them polished, not in this weather, of course, right? But before this or in the summertime when the weather is nice, right? Wash your car, put some wax on it, polish it. The polish of the heart is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only does it act as a polish, it also cleans off, right? It also cleans things off, and it acts as a soothing balm, right? A soothing cream, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That verily in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find peace, find rest. Right? So if you want to purify your heart, and if you want peace in your heart, true inner peace, it's going to come from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So this is the top method, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other methods as well that can help in achieving this, in keeping our heart pure and clean and secure. So for example, staying in the company of people who are pious and who are righteous, right? So avoiding the company of those who openly commit sins, those who encourage people to do bad, and staying in the company of those who are pious, who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which may not always be possible, I understand. So for example, also listening to good lectures or good things that can give strength to one's iman. You know, we have time on our hands. Now in Kingston, your commute is not that long, right? But in other cities, people have long commutes, right? You have options what you can do, or you know, if you're taking the bus, you have options what you can listen to. You know, you can have a radio, or if you're driving, you can have the radio on and just listen to the same thing over and over again, right? Listen to the news, people can listen to music sometimes, right? Or you can have CDs, or you can take your iPod or your MP3 player with you, download some, you know, good lectures, things that can benefit you. There are also audiobooks coming out, things like that. So your time can be used, and this, and if you're listening to something good, inshallah, it will help you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and help in maintaining the strength and purity of your heart. Offering prayers in congregation as well, right? So the impact of offering one salah at home, I mean, the rewards are obviously higher if you're offering congregation, but the impact of offering one salah at home, the quality of one prayer at home and one prayer in jama'ah, right, in congregation at the masjid, is completely different, right? So whenever you get the opportunity, try to come whenever possible, come to the masjid, offer at least one salah a day, if possible, with jama'ah, inshallah. That will help in purifying and maintaining our hearts as well. Now this is a reminder, of course, for myself and for all of us. The best thing to do is to figure out a plan, right? Because we'll think about this, you say, okay, Imam spoke about this today. I'll think, okay, I talked about this today. And then we forget about it, and that's it. We move on with our lives. But what we want to do is to figure out a plan, right? Figure out a plan, a schedule, to devote time to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Set a time to recite some Quran every single day, right? Even if it's a page, even if it's half a page, no matter how much or how little, set a time to do that as well. Find ways, if possible, to sit in the company of those who are pious. Find time to listen to things, talks that are beneficial, and find ways to protect and improve our salat, to give time, proper time to our prayers, so that we're not rushing, for example, at the end, trying to finish it up in 2 minutes, you know, when we had a whole hour and a half beforehand to offer our salah. And, of course, to make the effort to come to the masjid and to pray in congregation. You know, every step that we take towards the masjid, every step has a reward, right? At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a companion who wanted to move closer to the masjid so that he could, you know, come, so it would be easier to come to the masjid regularly, even though they would, you know, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pretty much all come to the masjid for every single prayer. But he was living on the outskirts of town, he wanted to come closer so that it would be easier. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised against that. Why? Because the further he is, he told him, the further you are from the masjid, right, the more rewards you will get, because you will have to spend more time coming towards the masjid. You will take more steps. And every single step that you take coming towards the masjid to offer salah, you'll get a greater reward for that. Right? Now that's not to say that you think, okay, I'm going to live far, and then you stop coming at all. Right? So you want to, the purpose is to try to come as much as possible. So if coming to the masjid is only possible if you live closer, and if you know you're going to live farther, it's going to be harder, then by all means live closer to the masjid. But if you're committed and you know that you want to come and you want greater reward, then you live further. If you're already living further, that's fine. And you make a commitment to come as much as possible, and inshallah you've got a great reward for that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rid our hearts of all the diseases and the love for the worldly and temporary things that it contains. May He fill our hearts with love for Him and grant us the ability to maximize our time in doing the things which polish our hearts. And finally, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really make us among those who show up on the day of resurrection with shining, you know, polished, clean hearts. A sister of the community, her mother has passed away in Kosovo. Her name is Sister Sadija. Her mother has passed away. Mother's name is Kumi, so please make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her maghfirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate her ranks. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give patience to her loved ones.